Chaitanya and Lord Nityananda, who are like the sun and the moon. They have arisen simultaneously on the horizon of Gauda and Lord Nityananda, who are like the sun and the moon. They have arisen simultaneously on the horizon of Gauda to dissipate the darkness of ignorance and thus wonderfully bestow an addiction upon all. On this auspicious day of Sri Nityananda Trayodasi, we have come together in the holy atmosphere of Sri Sri Radha Gopinath's divine abode, which is none different than Sri Vrindavan Dham, to hear a portion of a drop from the unlimited ocean of the glories of Sri Nityananda Prabhu. Chaitanya Charitamrita by Srila Krishna Das Kaviraj Goswami. He tries with all his love and devotion to expound the glories of Sri Nityananda Prabhu. In fact, everything we know about Lord Chaitanya and his divine mission is coming by the grace of Lord Nityananda. Krishna Das Kaviraj Goswami, he explains, was living in a small village in Bengal, Jhamatapur. And one approaches the Lord through his servants, through his devotees. So one very intimate and loving associate of Sri Nityananda Prabhu, his name was Miniketana Ramdas. He came to that village and with great ecstasy of love, he would narrate the pastimes of Lord Nityananda, and he would transmit the mercy of Sri Nityananda Prabhu. And he would love to lead all the devotees in the divine kirtan of the holy name. Miniketana Ramdas, like Lord Nityananda himself, was always absorbed in the sweet mood of a cowherd boy of Vrindavan Dham. And one day, the priest in the temple, who was busy worshiping the deity, failed to offer proper respects to Miniketana Ramdas when he came into the room. And Miniketana Ramdas, knowing that One cannot approach the deity unless one properly respects the Vaishnavas. Similarly, one cannot approach the name without properly respecting the Vaishnavas. He understood that this person's spiritual life was in great trouble. Because Miniketana Ram Das, he had no ego. He was simply the representative of Lord Nityananda. If you disrespect the viceroy, you disrespect the king. Whatever honor you give to the viceroy, that honor is accepted by the king. So Miniketana Ram Das saw that he was, although worshipping the Lord, he was disrespecting Lord Nityananda, and he was disrespecting his representative. So he spoke out, "This person is like another Romaharshan Sutta." He was sitting on a raised platform reciting Bhagavad philosophy. But when Sri Balaram came, he was so puffed up and proud of his high position as a speaker, he would not get down to offer his respects. So Miniketana Ram Das left. And then Kaviraj Goswami and his brother, they began to discuss. And Kaviraj Goswami explains that my brother had great faith in Lord Chaitanya, but he had no faith in Lord Nityananda. Nityananda represents the original spiritual master. If you have faith in Krishna, but you have no faith in Guru, if you have faith in Gauranga Mahaprabhu, but not in Lord Nityananda Prabhu, he said it is like accepting half of a hen. The back half lays eggs. The front half eats. So, a foolish person may think that I'm investing money in the front and I'm making money in the back, so let me cut it in half and throw away the front and keep the back. If you try to separate, you kill the hen and you end with nothing. Similarly, if you try to worship Krishna without respecting his devotees, it is like accepting half a hen. You lose both. And if you have faith in Krishna, but you do not develop faith in Gurudev, it is also like accepting half of a hen, according to Kaviraj Goswami's teachings. So, Krishnadas Kaviraj explains that because of this offensive mentality, his brother fell down. But because Krishnadas Kaviraj defended not only Lord Nityananda, but offended his devotee, Miniketana Ram Das, and properly pleased and served his devotee, Lord Nityananda was very pleased with him. And that evening, Kaviraj Goswami explains that Sri Nityananda Prabhu appeared to him in a dream. And what a wonderful form he manifested. He was very tall and very strong, with broad chest, long arms, beautiful lotus eyes, hair curling down his shoulders and his back. He had a dark, blackish complexion, like a Tamil tree, and he was swaying back and forth, eyes rolled in divine ecstasy, chanting the holy name, Krishna, 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 Krishna. And when Kaviraj Goswami saw this beautiful form, with a great heart full of love and devotion, he offered his respectful obeisances. He was overwhelmed with transcendental ecstasy. He didn't know anything else.
accept that beautiful form before him. And then Lord Nityananda Prabhu smiled. And he spoke to Kaviraj Goswami. Oh, my dear Krishnadas, do not be afraid. Go to Vrindavan, for there you will attain all things. After saying this, Lord Nityananda, with his lotus hand, directed him toward Vrindavan, and then he disappeared. This one sentence, Oh, my dear Krishnadas, do not be afraid. Go to Vrindavan, for there you will attain all things. This is the seed of the Chaitanya Charitamrita. The Chaitanya Charitamrita, which is considered to be the topmost elevated of all spiritual literatures, the postgraduate study of the Srimad Bhagavatam, which is the cream of all Veda. It has sprouted from this one order of Sri Nityananda Prabhu. He told Kaviraj Goswami, do not be afraid. Why did he say this? Because Lord Nityananda was telling Krishnadas Kaviraj Goswami to do the impossible. He was an old man. He was in his 90s. He was living at home with a family. To go to Vrindavan means to walk through the forests, through the jungles, alone, not knowing where to eat, where to sleep, no one to help him. But Nityananda told him, do not be afraid. Have faith. Whatever Gurudev tells you to do, be fearless. Do not hesitate. You are under the divine protection of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Why should you fear? Everyone in this world is filled with fear. We are afraid of losing our family, losing our loved ones, losing our own life. We are afraid of disease. We are afraid of economic collapse in our life. We're afraid of insult. We're afraid of hurting others and being hurt by others. We're afraid of wars. We're afraid of too much cold, too much heat. Most of people's lives is simply working on the basis of fear. People work for money because they're afraid what will happen if they have no money. So their whole motivation is simply fear. People build a house because they're afraid of the rain, they're afraid of the heat, they're afraid of the snow. People have a family because they're afraid of being lonely. This whole world is motivated by fear. Here was a person who had all those things, and Lord Nityananda was asking him to leave it all at the age of his... He was in his 90s. Nobody here today is even in their 80s. And even when we reach 40, we start feeling old. We start worrying about our security for the future. And when 50s, then we start really thinking, will my children take care of me? Do I have enough money in the trust fund? Do I have enough pension? What will happen? Everyone is so much fearful when they start feeling old age coming a little. Nityananda told Kaviraj Goswami, do not fear. If you have faith in Guru's word, you are beyond fear. That is the only condition where there is peace, where there is no fear. And fearlessness only comes through faith. Faith in the word of God, which is coming through the lips of his divine representative. That faith can cross us over the entire ocean of material existence. So such faith Kaviraj Goswami had, that he left everything and he went to Vrindavan. And by the mercy, by the grace of Sri Nityananda Prabhu, he attained the association of those beloved servants of Lord Nityananda, Rupa Goswami, Sanatan Goswami, Raghunath Das Goswami, Gopal Bhatta Goswami, Jiva Goswami, Lokanath Goswami, Bhugarbha Goswami. All these great associates, they all lived together. And hearing the glories of Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu from them, by the mercy of Lord Nityananda alone, he explains, he is writing this Chaitanya Charitamrita. And how am I writing? He began this work when he was in his late 90s. He had rheumatism, arthritis, he could hardly see. Throughout the Chaitanya Charitamrita, from time to time, he explains, I do not know how this is happening, how my hand could even hold this writing instrument. But somehow or other, I go on writing by the mercy of Lord Nityananda. And what is the other most important biography in which we get information of the life of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu? It is from Vrindavan Das Thakur. Vrindavan Das Thakur, he was born in a village called Mamgachi, which is within Navadvip Dham. And his birth was a wonderful birth. He was born from the niece of Srivas Thakur, whose name was Narayani. When Narayani was just a tiny little girl, only 4 years old, Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu in the house of Srivas called her and said, chant the names of Krishna. So she started chanting, repeating what Lord had told her. And when she started chanting the name of Krishna, she went into such an ecstatic trance that she started crying, weeping, and showing all symptoms of ecstasy. She fell to the ground, and all the devotees were completely amazed. And Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu would personally, with his own hand, feed her the remnants of his prasad. So because she was blessed in this way, she had a most wonderful child. Vrindavan Das Thakur was born after Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu had already taken sannyas, 4 years after. He had already left Navadvip Dham. While he was in the womb of his mother, his father died. So he was born of a widowed woman. And all his life he was simply aspiring to be at the feet of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. So he was given the care at that time, Narayani, because she had no money, she had no means to support her child, she became a cleaner, a maidservant in the house of Vasudev Dutt, who was one of the very, very great compassionate devotees of the Lord. Vasudev Dutt prayed to Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, let all the sins of all living beings in the entire universe come on my head. Let me go to hell for the rest of eternity and take everyone back to Godhead with you, because my heart pains to see the suffering of others. So it was this Vasudev Dutt who personally trained Vrindavan Das Thakur in his schooling and in his Vaishnava behavior. And he had the association of such wonderful devotees. And when he grew old enough, he was very anxious to go to take shelter of the lotus feet of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. But Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu had already left this world by that time. So he went to Lord Nityananda, and he took shelter of his lotus feet. And Lord Nityananda accepted him as he would accept his own child. He lovingly embraced him. He placed his lotus feet on the head of Vrindavan Das Thakur. And together they lived. And Lord Nityananda Prabhu, instructing him in the glories of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, in the glories of pure devotional service and Nam Kirtan, invested within Vrindavan Das Thakur his complete mercy. And on the basis of that mercy, Sri Vrindavan Das Thakur has written the Chaitanya Bhagavat. So practically everything we know of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, who is the Yuga Avatar, is coming by these great souls who were the disciples and divinely inspired and empowered by Sri Nityananda Prabhu. In fact, when Lord Nityananda was living, Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, he was playing the role of a devotee, always glorifying Krishna. It was Sri Nityananda Prabhu who revealed to the world the truth of who Lord Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu truly was. He was glorifying the Yuga Avatar. He was revealing the essence of his true nature as Bhagavan Sri Krishna. So this day is most important. In fact, many Gaudiya Vaishnavas consider it to be, along with Vyas Puja, the day of the appearance of Guru, to be the most blessed day. Because Lord Nityananda Prabhu has especially descended to give his causeless mercy to the most downtrodden, the most fallen, without discrimination. He holds back nothing. He freely distributes love of God. And therefore, without achieving the divine mercy of Sri Nityananda Prabhu, spiritual life is very difficult. It is described that Sri Nityananda Prabhu was born in the village of Ekachakra, which is in the province of Radha Desh. This is very interesting also, because in those days it was believed that wherever the Ganges flowed, that place was auspicious and holy. And the further from the Ganges you go, the more that place becomes contaminated and unholy. The province of Radha Desh in Bengal is very far from Ganges. Just like a few days ago, we drove from Sridhar Mayapur, where the Ganges flows, to Ekachakra through Katwa. It is about a 5-hour drive. So it is a long way from other Ganges. So it was considered in those days that one who was born in a holy place like Navadvip, which was near the Ganga, that is very auspicious. But Kaviraj Goswami explains that Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu wanted to send his eternal associates and his divine representatives to the most sinful places to appear, to deliver those places. So Nityananda Prabhu was born in the village of Ekachakra. Actually, Srila Prabhupada in Chaitanya Charitamrita, in one purport, he explains in this regard that Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, he sent Haridas Thakur to be born in a sinful family of meat-eaters and atheists. He
also explains that he has sent many of his very dear devotees to be born in Western countries, in the houses of meat eaters and atheists and materialists, just to deliver their lands. So Lord Nityananda, when he was born on this holy day of Trayodasi, everything in Radha Desh became auspicious. At the time there was drought. It was a poor village and there was a lot of poverty in the area. But as soon as Lord Nityananda appeared in this world, profuse prosperity began to manifest everywhere, in all directions. There was beautiful rain, crops were growing like anything. All the auspicious stars were in their proper formations. Everyone simply felt great jubilation in their hearts, and they did not even know why. Everyone was feeling divine ecstasy because the Supreme Personality of Godhead appeared amongst them. And when he was a child, his pastimes were most incredible. Day and night, he only had one love: to gather his friends together to enact the beautiful leelas of Krishna and his various incarnations. And how they did so, such young children, nobody could understand. One day he gathered all his friends together, and they had an assembly meeting. And one of them took the part of the earth and said, "So many demons are trampling on me, what should I do?" The earth took the form of a cow and started saying like this. And then, they decided, "Let us go to Lord Brahma. Maybe he knows the answer." And one of the friends who was in the dress of Lord Brahma went to a pond, which they considered to be the ocean of milk, and began to pray to Lord Vishnu to kindly appear and save the earth. And one of the boys hiding behind the tree started saying, "I will appear. You should all take birth in the Yadu dynasty." And then they would play. One would play Vasudev, one would play Devaki, one would play Kamsa. And they enacted the whole scene, which took place in the chariot after the marriage of Vasudev and Devaki. And then from the prison cell, they took a little doll, pretended it to be Krishna, and one of the boys took him across the Jamuna and traded him, brought him another little baby back, Yogamaya. Throughout the day, they would simply play these games. They knew nothing else. They had no other sport. They had no other interest. The children, they simply wanted to be with Lord Nityananda. He was so loving. He was so attractive. Whatever he did, they simply wanted to do. And when they were with him, he empowered them to perfectly play the parts. One child became Putana and came to kill baby Krishna. And another boy took the form of Krishna and started sucking the life from his breast. And the other boy was crying out, "Child, leave me, leave me," and then died. And everyone was simply watching with astonishment. Then they all worked together to take wood and straw, and they created a cart. And then Lord Nityananda laid under the cart and kicked it, and the cart fell. And everyone started going, "Jai." And another boy took the form of Trinavarta and picked up another boy, and he took him by the neck, and they fell to the ground together. And sometimes, once, they took all leaves and they worked throughout the day to build a representative of Kaliya with all hoods.
And Nityananda arranged for one of the boys to... they went to a lake and they put this serpent. And all the boys started drinking the water. And then they all died. And Lord Nityananda, seeing all the boys died, he started glancing on them. Then they all came back to life. And then Lord Nityananda dove in the water and made a big splash. And then other boys brought this idol of Kaliya that they made themselves. And Lord Nityananda started dancing on their heads. And everyone was watching with great amazement. And another time, one boy took the role of Indra and became very angry, started throwing water and everything. You are worshipping Govardhan Hill instead of me. You will die. And then another boy picked up a stone which represented Govardhan Hill and held it up above his head. And all the other boys came and ran under the stone and stood there just looking, thinking, ah, just see, Giriraj has saved us, Giridhari. And one boy, all of Krishna's leelas. And when the adults would see this, they would ask, how is it possible, Nitai? How do you know these things? You're only a small child. We have never taught you these things. You're not even old enough to read. How do you know these pastimes? Not only did they know the pastimes, but each of his friends as well as himself, whatever they spoke was exactly from the scripture. And he would say, these are my previous incarnations. Of course I know. And they would laugh because they could not understand who is this Lord Nityananda. They thought he was just some very special, charming child. One boy disguised himself as a Krura. Lord Nityananda was a very good producer. He would get everyone dressed up. He was the director. He was the producer. He was in charge of the makeup, the costumes, everything. And all of his friends, they were simply, they just didn't want to leave him ever. So he dressed his boys up, and one was Akrura. And he came to Vrindavan, rolled in the dust and the ground in Krishna's footprints. Then they made a chariot. They worked and made a beautiful little chariot. Simple, like a child would make. And Krishna and Balaram, two boys playing their parts, got on the chariot with Akrura. And then Lord Nityananda and his friends started pleading, Krishna, please do not go. We have given our lives only for you. We have given up our homes. We have given up our chastity. We have given up everything for you. And you promised us that we would always be with you. And now you are breaking all your promise and you are leaving. And they started accusing Akrura. And they started pleading. And while this leela took place, Lord Nityananda was playing the role of a gopi, Sri Radharani. And he was pleading and crying. And then as the chariot left, Lord Nityananda fell to the ground, weeping and weeping and weeping, tears flowing like rivers from his eyes. He could not be consoled by anybody. And everyone around was, how is this possible? People around were trying to console him, his parents, his friends. But he was just weeping and crying, Krishna, don't leave. Krishna, don't leave. Please come back. Another time they were playing the role of Bali and Vamanadeva. And they used to love to play the roles of Ram Leela. And Lord Nityananda would take the role of Lakshman. Because after all, that is his eternal incarnation. Because Lord Nityananda is Balaram. He is none different than Lakshman. So many games in Ram Leela. How perfectly they acted just according to Ramayana. And one day, one boy came. And he was playing Ravana. And he said, Nityananda, in the form of Lakshman, in the mood of Lakshman, said, Ravana, you are a dog. You have taken Sita. He's very serious. And the boy said, I will kill your Ram, and today I will kill you. And then Ravana took a lotus flower and threw it. And it hit Nitai on the chest. And when he hit him on the chest, he swooned and fell to the ground unconscious. And the boys went around. He wasn't breathing. His heart had stopped. He was actually unconscious from a little lotus flower. And they were saying, Nitai, get up, please get up. And the boy playing Ram was begging, please get up. Then they realized that he's not just playing. He's actually unconscious. He might be dead. So all the friends started crying and weeping. And then his mother and father, Sri Hadai Pandit and Lakshmi and Padmavati Devi, they came running to the scene along with so many of the other adults. And they saw this. What happened? I just threw a lotus flower at him. Well, what? Just a lotus flower? He's unconscious. He's not breathing. There's no pulse. They were weeping. They were crying. They didn't know what to do, how to bring him back to life. And everyone in Eka Chakra practically was gathered around simply crying, trying to figure out what to do. And then one person who was standing by, he said, actually, I remember one day he was playing the part of Dasarat. And after Ram and Lakshman left in their play, how he also started weeping and fell like this state. I think the only thing that can save him is Hanuman has to get a medicinal herb from the Himalayas. So one of the boys said, ah, yes, that's right. Before we threw the lotus, he said, if I fall unconscious, one of you has to become Hanuman and get an herb, otherwise you'll never see me again. But when he fell unconscious, we became so much overwhelmed crying, we forgot his instruction. So immediately they started dressing one boy up as Hanumanji. And he started running. And then one boy dressed up as a Rakshasa and said, Hanuman, you stop. He was a Rakshasa, but he was in disguise as a sadhu. He says, you come, you take prasad at my ashram. Hanuman said, no, I am busy. I must go save my brother. I must go save my lord, my lord's brother. Ah. And the man said, no, it is an offense to not come and take prasad with a sadhu. At least take bath here. So there was a lake, and he took a bath. And then another boy took the form of a rakshasa, who was disguised as a crocodile, and grabbed onto Hanuman's leg. And then there was a big fight, and Hanuman started beating on this other boy who was a crocodile. Then the crocodile boy pretended he was dead. And then he ran, and he picked up a big stone, the Gandhamadana mountain, and he ran back. And one of the boys took the dress of a doctor, and he took the stone and put the stone near Lord Nityananda's, Lakshman's nose, and then Lakshman just immediately got up. And everyone was just looking at this, the adults, the children. How is this possible? Who is this boy? How do you know these things? He would always reply, because this is my role in my previous leelas. And they would laugh. Just see, he's so cute. And the boys never wanted to leave Nitai. Never. They wanted day and night to be with him. And they would always come home late. And the parents Did they ever get angry? They could not get angry. When they would see Nittai, their hearts would just become so overwhelmed with love that they would just start embracing him, kissing him. And they just loved him more than their own children. So in this way, every person in the whole village of Ekrachakra was submerged in the greatest transcendental love and ecstasy by the divine Leela of Sri Nityananda. And of everyone, the person who was so overwhelmed with love was his father. After all, he was the elder son. How much his father loved. As Nityananda, Nittai became a little older, his father simply wanted him by his side constantly, and his mother also. They could not tolerate a moment of not seeing him. He was so beautiful. Throughout the day, throughout the night, they simply wanted to look at him and hold him and do nice things for him and see him laugh and see him play. It was their life and soul. Hadai Pandit would take Nityananda with him everywhere and anywhere he would go. Sometimes he would go in the marketplace and Nittai would fall a little behind. And when Hadai Pandit did not see him, he just went into a frantic state, looking here, there, where is he? Have you seen him? That was the condition he was in. If for a moment of seconds he was out of sight, he would go frantic. So much attached he was. Lord Nityananda was thinking in his heart that Lord Sri Gauranga has sent me here on a mission to preach the glories of the holy name. How will I ever do it as long as my parents are so attached to me? So he was thinking, somehow or other, I have to leave this place. At that time, he was only 12 years old. And by his divine arrangement, one day, a very great sadhu came to the house of Hadai Pandit in Ekachakra. And Hadai Pandit was very much happy to see him. He offered his prostrated obeisances. He gave him the best he had in his home. He washed the sadhu's feet. He gave him nice prasad, nice sitting place. He said, please, tonight you take rest. Gave him the best room in the house. The sadhu rested. In this way, he worshipped the feet of this great devotee. Hadai Pandit was such a noble and pious man. The next morning, Hadai Pandit, in the mood of King Dasarath, in the mood of King Yudhisthira, in the mood of every great grihastha who has ever lived on the face of the earth, he offered to the sadhu whatever he wanted. He said, before you leave, sadhu said, yes, I must go now. I must go on pilgrimage to all the holy places. Well, let me, anything you would like from my house is yours. Please ask. You know, I'm traveling alone. I need a very nice assistant. Please give me your son. And together we will travel by foot to all the holy places throughout all of Bharatvarsha. When this request came, it was like an insurmountable thunderbolt crashing into the soft heart of Hadai Pandit. He began to swoon. He practically fell unconscious. He became completely bewildered. Tears started coming from his eyes. And he began to think in his heart, if I give him my child, I will die. I cannot live.
But if I do not, I will be committing an offense to a sadhu.
What should I do?
And how he died of separation, but he had no choice. You cannot offend the devotees of the Lord. So he went back into the room, and there he saw little Nityananda, 12-year-old child, who was completely detached, ready to stay, ready to go. It didn't mean anything to him. So he went back into the room, and there he saw little Nityananda, 12-year-old child, who was completely detached, ready to stay, ready to go. It didn't mean anything to him. So with a heavy heart, Adai Pandit handed his most beloved object of life to this great saint. And they left. And when they left, Adai Pandit fell to the ground unconscious. And for the next 3 months, he could not eat one morsel of food, he could not drink one drop of water. He did not sleep for even one second. He simply spent day and night, second by second, weeping and crying, completely immersed in the thought of his beloved son. The only thing that kept him alive for those 3 months was the thought of his son. But then it became so unlimitedly unbearable that his heart could not bear the pain, and it broke. It broke in such a way that his soul departed from this world back to the spiritual abode. Meanwhile, Lord Nityananda, he went on pilgrimage. He went to all the holy places. Chaitanya Bhagavat describes all these holy places that he had visited. He went to Gaya, to Kashi, to Mathura, Vrindavan, visited all the 12 forests of Braj Mandal. Then he went to Hastinapur, where he was crying in ecstatic love, thinking of his devotees, the Pandavas. Then he went to Kurukshetra. In Kurukshetra, such a divine ecstasy overcame him, thinking of all the wonderful activities that took place in that battlefield, thinking about his beloved Lord of his life, Sri Krishna, and how he assumed the position of Parthasarathi, the charioteer of Arjuna. And then he went to Badrikashram, where he met with Vedavyas. And Vedavyas, when he saw this child coming, Vedavyas knew him to be Balaram himself, and personally worshipped his lotus feet and surrendered his life to him. He went to Gangotri, Jamunotri. Then he went down to the south. He went to Tirupati, to Srirangam. When it is described, when he was in Kanchipuram, he saw that it was divided into Vishnu Kanchi and Shiva Kanchi. And he saw that the Shivites were always arguing with the Vaishnavas, and the Vaishnavas were always arguing with the Shivites. And when he saw this, he just laughed. Such neophyte devotees arguing with each other, not knowing the divine relationship between Vishnu and Shiva. They are fighting together. What nonsense. And when he came to the western provinces of southern India, a most momentous event in his life took place. It was there that he met
his eternal master, his beloved guru, Srila Madhavendra Puri.
Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu explained on so many occasions that Madhavendra Puri was the reservoir of all pure devotional service that had descended through him to this material world. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu described that he was the trunk of the tree of love of God. And his devotees were the branches. But Madhavendra Puri was the roots. It was from him that pure devotional service in the conjugal mood of love had descended to this world. So when Lord Nityananda came before Sri Madhavendra Puri, when they looked at each other, they simply looked, they were struck with wonder. Madhavendra Puri saw Lord Nityananda as his worshipable Lord Balaram, and Lord Nityananda saw Madhavendra Puri as his guru. Madhavendra Puri was in the association of all of his principal disciples, such as Ishwara Puri, Brahmananda Bharati, Paramananda Puri, and others. And Lord Nityananda simply offered his prostrated obeisances, and Madhavendra Puri also. And then Madhavendra Puri, he took Lord Nityananda and embraced him, put his head to his chest, and they both began to cry. And as they cried, they were soaking each other with their tears. They could not even speak. And Lord Nityananda Prabhu said that this is the most glorious day of my life. I have gone to so many holy places, but for the first time I have met someone who truly loves Krishna. And Madhavendra Puri was saying the same, similar. In this way, they spent many days together simply discussing Krishna consciousness and Krishna's Leela. And the disciples were just merged in an ocean of love and ecstasy to see this wonderful relationship. And after so many days, they parted, intensely feeling separation from one another. And Sri Nityananda Prabhu from there went to Rameshwaram, Setu Banda, then eventually to Jagannath Puri. And from Jagannath Puri, he was thinking in his mind that Lord Chaitanya is here on earth. But he has not yet revealed his divine Leela as the distributor of Sankirtan of the holy name. He is still hiding himself from the world. So Nityananda Prabhu made a vow. Although he was simply burning with the desire to distribute the glories of the holy name, he would not preach to anyone. He remained very silent, because he vowed that until Lord Chaitanya personally gives him the mission of preaching, he will not discriminate, he will not in any way, shape or form, inspire anyone on this path. So he went to Vrindavan. And there he stayed at Srindarbhat. And there in the mood of Balaram, he was just like a child. He forgot about eating, he forgot about sleeping. While he was in Vrindavan, he would simply roll in the dust. That was his favorite pastime in Vrindavan, simply to roll in the dust. He loved the dust of Vrindavan with such ecstatic feeling. And he would just go with the cowherd boys, the children. And throughout the day, he would just play with the children who were herding the cows, just waiting for the day that Lord Gauranga would reveal himself. And one day it became known to him that in Navadvip Dham, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu has begun the Harinam Sankirtan movement. So he immediately, in great anticipation, he left. He left Braja Dham for Sri Navadvip Dham. And when he arrived, he came to the house of Nandanacharya. And very secretly, without telling anyone, he was there. He was living. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, meanwhile, he was telling his devotees for some time that a very, very great personality is soon to come to Navadvipa, the greatest of all personalities. And one day after he came out of the temple of Vishnu, he said to his associates, that last night I had a dream. In this dream, a beautiful chariot came before my house. The chariot had a flag, and on the flag was the insignia of Balaram, a palm tree. And standing as a passenger on that chariot was Balaram himself, so beautiful. And he began to describe the beauty of Lord Balaramji. And he started calling out, is this the house of Nimai Pandit? Is this the house of Nimai Pandit? Is this the house of Nimai Pandit? Again and again and again and again. And when I looked at that chariot, I could understand that this chariot is a chariot that can take all living beings out of this material world back to Godhead, the spiritual world. I can understand through this dream that that great personality I have told you about has arrived somewhere in Navadvipa. Kindly go to find him. This is none other than Nityananda. So he sent Srivas and Haridas Thakur with others to search for him. And they spent the whole day searching. While chanting the holy names, they went everywhere. And in the evening they came back and they said, we have gone to every house of the Brahmins, we have gone to every house of the Kshatriyas, the Vaishyas, the Sudras, everywhere throughout all of Navadvipa Dham and Mayapur. We have not seen this personality anywhere. We don't know where else to look. And Sri Gauranga Mahaprabhu, he said, let me go. Let us go together to find him. So Sri Gauranga Mahaprabhu took them to the house of Nandanacharya. And when they came to the house of Nandanacharya, they saw a personality inside that was emanating light that was more brilliant than millions of suns. And they all stood. And Nityananda Prabhu came out. And alas, after so many years, he was face to face with Sri Vishwambhar, his beloved Lord of life. And when he looked at Lord Vishwambhar, his eyes, without blinking, simply stared. He stood motionless like a statue, and he could not speak. The ecstasy of his heart was so deep and so great that it paralyzed him. And as Lord Gauranga was looking at the beautiful form of Nitai, tears were flowing from his eyes. None of the devotees had ever seen such an exchange of love as they just looked upon each other. And Nimai, Sri Gauranga, he could see that Lord Nityananda was in such a paralyzed spiritual condition. The devotees did not know what to do. So Lord Nityananda, or Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, told Srivas Thakur that you sing a particular verse from the Bhagavatam describing the beautiful form of Krishna as he was herding his cows. So he started chanting that verse, and then Lord Nityananda, from his paralyzed, immovable state, his body just started trembling like a tumultuous ocean. And tears just started profusely coming through from his eyes, his hair started standing on end. He fell to the ground. He would leap in the air, high in the air, fall to the ground, leap in the air, fall to the ground. It sounded like his bones were all breaking in thousands of pieces. And then he started rolling and rolling and rolling. Then he fell unconscious. And Chaitanya Mahaprabhu told Srivas, go on chanting. And as he was chanting, he came back to consciousness. And again, he was just rolling and tumbling and no one could control him. It looked like he was going to destroy his own body by the way he was behaving. So the devotees, all of them, they all tried to hold him down. But his ecstatic symptoms were so powerful, it was like trying to hold a mountain. Nobody could hold him, even for a second. And at that time, Sri Gauranga Mahaprabhu himself put his arms around Lord Nityananda and put his head to his heart. And upon the embrace of Lord Gauranga, Sri Nityananda Prabhu became still. And as they were in each other's arms, how they wept, how they cried. They completely, utterly bathed each other with their tears. They were both falling unconscious, coming together, embracing, again unconscious, again conscious, again unconscious, again conscious. And Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu said, today is the most glorious day of my life. Today I have attained the association of the most exalted of all personalities in all of creation, Sri Nityananda. Sri Nityananda, he is so great, his love, that anyone who sees him, anyone who touches him, anyone who sincerely takes his name will attain the perfection of pure love of Krishna. This is the power of Lord Nityananda. And after chanting the praises of his eternal associate, Lord Nityananda began to speak. He said, oh, he said, I have traveled to so many holy places for so many years, but although I was in all these places, I could not find Krishna anywhere. And I was asking people, where is Krishna? Even in the temples, I was not seeing Krishna. And they told me that Krishna has appeared in Navadvip Dham. You should go there. And now, today, I have attained the fruit of all my pilgrimage because I have achieved the shelter of the lotus feet of the Supreme Absolute Truth, Sri Krishna, my eternal Lord and Master. And in this way, they were praising one another with love. And the ecstasy amongst each other, the devotees were simply looking on in great astonishment. Upon seeing the love between Lord Nityananda and Lord Chaitanya for one another, the devotees themselves were unable to contain themselves. They fell in a similar mood of ecstasy. And then they began kirtan. And this was a special moment. It was the first time Lord Chaitanya and Lord Nityananda danced together to the beautiful sound of the holy names. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. And as they danced, the sight was so beautiful that the devotees simply were going around them in a circle, watching them. The most beautiful sight that has ever been manifested in the history of creation. The beautiful forms of Krishna and Balaram, Nityananda and Sri Gaura Sundar dancing together to the divine sound of the holy name. And this dancing and chanting went on throughout all the day and all the night. The two brothers, Nithai Gaurachandra, were united. It was at this time, at the point of this unity, that the Harinam Sankirtan movement began in its fullest, most merciful manifestation. The beautiful pastimes between Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and Lord Nityananda Prabhu.
are vast and many. How they loved one another. One time it is described, Srimati Sachi Mata, the mother of Sri Gauranga, she treated Lord Nityananda just like her own son, because they loved each other like brothers. They were inseparable from one another. So often he lived there at the house of Sachi Devi. And one day, Sachi Devi approached Sri Gauranga and she told him about a very strange and mysterious dream that she had had. He said, "What is this dream?" She said, "I was dreaming that I was worshipping the deities of Krishna and Balaram. And all of a sudden, you and Lord Nityananda, Nitai and yourself, took the form of little children. And you came off the altar holding the deities of Krishna and Balaram. Nitai was holding Balaram, you were holding Krishna. And this deity started speaking to the two of you who were in the form of children. And Lord Balaram said, 'Why are you taking us off the altar? Don't you know Krishna, my brother, is the Supreme Personality of Godhead, the Absolute Truth? Why are you taking us off the altar?' And Lord Nityananda said that your time is finished. You're done. You're for Dwarka Yuga, Dwapara Yuga. Now my Lord, Gauranga, has come. Now he sits on the altar. There's no room for you.' And they started arguing and fighting. And they started pulling each other. And every time Krishna Balaram tried to get back on the altar, Nimai and Nitai, the two of you started pulling him down. Actually, Nityananda was doing all the pulling and arguing. 'Stand aside, Gauranga has come, he is the supreme. In this age of Kali Yuga, he is the only means.' And in the end, Krishna and Balaram were defeated by the two of you. And you sat on the altar and accepted my love and my offerings. I do not understand this dream, my son. Can you explain it to me?" And he was very pleased. He was very pleased. It was an extraordinary. So during their Navadvip Leela, they were always together, chanting and dancing and spreading the glories of the holy name, inundating all of creation with the ocean of love of God. And then it is described that Sri Gauranga, for the sake of preaching to all classes of men, it was necessary for him to take the renounced order of life of sannyas. So he brought Lord Nityananda, Chandrasekharacharya, Gadadhara, Mukunda, and some other devotees with him. They went to Katva, where Chaitanya Mahaprabhu accepted sannyas, the renounced order, from Keshava Bharati Maharaj. And Lord Nityananda, he knew the heart of Sri Gauranga. Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, after accepting the renounced order of life — we will tell this beautiful story on Gaur Purnima during our festival — he simply wanted to go to Vrindavan. And when the news came to the residents of Navadvip that Sriman Mahaprabhu had taken sannyas, Lord Nityananda sent Chandrasekhar back to Navadvip to tell everyone what had happened. They were in an ocean of grief. They were all making vows to drown themselves in the Ganges, because how could they live without Lord Gaurasundar dancing amongst them, reciprocating love with them?
So Lord Nityananda,
my Lord wants to go to Vrindavan, but his devotees want him back in Navadvip.
So what will please Lord Chaitanya most? Going to Vrindavan and satisfying his own desire, or going back to Navadvip and satisfying his devotees?
I'm willing to commit any offense, but I know that my Lord, his life and soul is his devotees. And to please his devotees is more important than pleasing him.
So with this in mind, Nityananda Prabhu went ahead, knowing that Lord Chaitanya was in such an ecstatic trance of love of God, he did not really know where he was going or where he was coming from. He was simply immersed in Krishna with the thought of Vrindavan. So he told some cowherd boys, when he tells you which way is Jamuna, Vrindavan, you show him this direction, towards Santipur, where Advaita Acharya lives. Meanwhile, he sent a message through Chandrasekhar, tell all the devotees of Navadvip and Sachi Devi, his mother, come to Santipur at the house of Advaita. I will get him there somehow or other. So in this way, he tricked the Lord into coming back to Santipur. And the Lord became very angry with him. Why you have cheated me in this way? You have sent me the wrong direction. I am at the Ganges. I thought this was Jamuna. Advaita Acharya, who was waiting for him there, he said, no, my Lord, actually he did not lie to you. Because at Prayag, Jamuna, Ganga, they mixed together. The western side is the Jamuna, the eastern side is Ganga. You're in the west, so actually you're in Jamuna. And wherever your lotus feet are, that is Vrindavan. So you're in Vrindavan, you're in Jamuna, Nityananda ki jai. So then they went and had beautiful kirtans. And the two brothers danced for the pleasure of everyone, inspiring everyone to take utter shelter of the holy names. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare. And Lord Gauranga, upon seeing his mother, was very much feeling sorry. Because she was weeping and weeping and weeping. She was so anxious to see Nimai again, she thought, I will never see him. He has left, he has taken sannyas. Her heart's expectation was, I am going to see him again. But when she saw him, her heart broke. His beautiful hair was cut. He had a shaved head. His beautiful robes and jewelry was gone. He was wearing the clothes of a sannyasi. He fell at her feet. She started crying, kissing him, putting him on lap. And she begged him, please go to Jagannath Puri instead of Vrindavan. And out of being bound by her love, he went to Puri with Lord Nityananda Mukunda, Jagadananda and Damodar. They all went together. And on the way, a very, very mysterious pastime took place. What happened is this. Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu went to bathe in a river, just not far from Jagannath Puri. And while he was bathing, Lord Nityananda was taking care of his danda. He entrusted it to him. And Lord Nityananda broke his danda, his sannyas staff, and threw it in the river. He was taking the role of Mahaprabhu's servant. So Chaitanya Mahaprabhu came out. He was always in a very trance state. So sometime later, he asked Nityananda Prabhu, give me my danda. And Nityananda Prabhu said, your danda, I do not have it. Well, where is it? You were in ecstasy. You fell on it. It broke. It fell in the Ganges. I don't know where it is. You broke it. What kind of servant are you? I'm trying to be sannyasi. You're interfering with my vows. I will not go to Jagannath Puri with you. I'll either go ahead or behind, but I will not go with you. So they said, will you go ahead, my lord? Now, If Lord Nityananda, who is the original spiritual master, who is always the obedient servant of the Supreme Lord, Lord Nityananda is none other than Ananta Shesh. Try to understand his divine position. As Ananta Shesh, he is always engaging in the service of Narayan. He becomes his bed. He becomes his slippers, his shoes. He expands himself as in his umbrella, his jewelry, his crown, his clothes. All the personal paraphernalia of Lord Narayan is none other than expansions of Lord Nityananda himself, Ananta Shesh. And in the role of Lakshman, how much of an obedient brother he was at all times. He was willing to go to the forest. He was willing to give up sleeping. He was willing to do anything to serve his Lord, Sri Ramchandra. And in the role of Balaram, he was constantly assisting. The whole Goloka Vrindavan is an expansion of Balaramji. All the paraphernalia of the Lord is expansions of Balaramji. So the same personality. Why would he become so disobedient to break the sacred sannyas stick of his master and throw it in the river? The reason is this. Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur explains that there are four orders of sannyas. Bahudha Kutichak Parivrajakacharya Paramhamsa. In the Parivrajakacharya stage, you carry danda and you travel and preach. But in the Paramhamsa stage, there's no more preaching so much. You're just completely immersed. At that time, the external formalities of sannyas are not so important. So Lord Nityananda was thinking, he is better than Paramhamsa. He is the supreme Hamsa. So what is the need for him to carry a staff? Why should people get the wrong idea? And another thing is this. He understood Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu to be none other than Krishna himself. The supreme enjoyer. Why should the supreme enjoyer be renouncing everything? He should be accepting everything. He should be accepting all opulence. But he's giving up everything. He could not tolerate the thought of the supreme enjoyer. Sri Krishna, in this beautiful form of Gauranga, in the role of a sannyasi. So his natural spontaneous love in this mood invoked him to break the danda and throw it. He didn't want to see it. So externally, although Lord Gauranga Mahaprabhu was very angry, in his heart, internally, he was overwhelmed with joy to see the nature of Lord Nityananda's love. And they went to Jagannath Puri. And so many beautiful pastimes took place. But I'll tell one. Another mysterious pastime. Because Lord Nityananda, is it too late? Should I stop here? Huh? Chaitanya Mahaprabhu told Lord Nityananda, he told Rupan Sanatan, then I have to... First he traveled throughout South India and preached. Then he went to Vrindavan, Kurukshetra. Then he came back to Puri. Then he decided he would stay in Puri. And from Puri he would chant the holy names. So he told Rupan Sanatan, you should go on my behalf to Vrindavan. Because my mother likes me here. How loving he was. Captured by the pure devotion of Sachi Devi. And he dispatched various devotees to various places. Now, Lord Nityananda was in the renounced order of life also. But he was not a sannyasi, he was an avadhuta. So Lord Gauranga Mahaprabhu told Nityananda that you should go to Bengal. And you should go to every house, in every village, throughout all of Bengal,
and plead with them, beg them to chant the holy names. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Ram, Hare Ram, Ram Ram. And everybody else, every year everyone comes to Jagannath Puri to see me, but next year you should not come, you should stay in Bengal. So guess what happened? The next year, he came. And Krishna Das Kaviraj Goswami explains, who can understand the love of Lord Nityananda? If anyone tries to imitate, they will die. They will fall to the lower stages. He understood the most intimate recesses of the heart. Unless you have such pure devotion and pure love, you must obediently follow the instructions of Guru. But if you are in love with Lord Nityananda, then you can please the Guru even better by disobeying his instructions. But please, you are not Nityananda. We should simply aspire to worship his exalted state. So, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, in a secluded place, told Lord Nityananda that I have a secret mission for you. You see, together we have incarnated. Krishna and Balaram, here we are. We have incarnated in this Kali Yuga for the purpose of giving everyone the opportunity to love Krishna by chanting his holy names. But I am a sannyasi. There are certain places I'm not allowed to go. There's certain people I'm not allowed to associate with. Because as a vow of a sannyasi, people will look very much down on me if I do certain things, go to certain people, go to certain places. And you are an avaduta. If you, in the renounced order, do it, you will also be criticized. So therefore, in order for the two of us to reach everybody, you should get married. You want me to get married? Yes, you get married. Who in the 14 worlds is going to want to marry me? I'm an avaduta. Nobody wants to marry an avaduta. He said, I just go everywhere. I do everything. People think I'm crazy. Always intoxicated with Krishna Prema. I have no caste. I have nothing. Who is going to want to marry me? Lord Gauranga, that is true. But there is one very great devotee in the village of Kalna. His name is Suryadas Sarakela. And he's the elder brother. He's a dear devotee of you. You know him well. He's dedicated his life in your loving service. And his younger brother, Goridas Pandit, he is one of your most timid associates. He has very beautiful and very loving daughter. You should marry her. All right. So Lord Nityananda, along with one of his associates named Uttarena Das, Uttaran Das, they went to the town of Kalna, and when they went to the home of Suryadas Sarakela, how Suryadas was so happy to see Lord Nityananda, how he worshipped his lotus feet, and Goridas Pandit and everyone, they were just in a wave of ecstasy that their worshipable Lord had come. And then Lord Nityananda said, Sri Gauranga Mahaprabhu told me to marry your daughter. Marry my daughter? You? You're my worshipable Lord, but how could I marry you to my daughter? You know, we have our traditions. We have our caste codes and everything. We're Brahmins. And you're also a Brahmin. But what kind of Brahmin? You don't wear a sacred thread. You eat at anybody's house, even Malechas and Yavanas. Sometimes you're seen in bars, and sometimes you're with untouchable women preaching to them, and you don't follow any standards. You're completely unpredictable. By all material standards, you're utterly irresponsible. I can't marry my daughter to you. It's not possible.
He said, but it is Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's instruction.
Surya Das replied, according to the Gita, Bhagavad Gita, Krishna says that you must do your duty and worship Him according to the Varnashram system. And you've completely abandoned the Varnashram system. So I'm sorry, out of the question, I will not marry my daughter to you. So Lord Nityananda walked away. Surya Das had two daughters, Vasudha and Janava.
So as he walked away,
Vasudha saw him. And when she saw the beauty of Lord Nityananda, her heart just completely fell intoxicated with love for him. She could not resist seeing his beauty and his luster. And just at that time, a serpent came and bit her. And instantly, she fell dead. And everyone in the house was around her, trying to revive her. But she was dead. Everyone was weeping. What to do? In those days, when a person was bitten by a serpent, their body was poisonous. They would not even burn it. They would just throw it in the Ganges. So they were making preparations. They were very much sad, broken-hearted. You can imagine. And then Udharan, Lord Nityananda's servant, he came back to Surya Das, said, my master can cure your daughter and bring her back to life, but only on the condition that you allow them to get married.
A daughter married to an avaduta is better than no daughter at all.
So Nityananda came back and brought her back to life, and then there was a wonderful marriage ceremony that was arranged. Actually, this is Surya Das's lila with Nityananda Prabhu. Actually, he was such a great devotee. It was with such love that he married his daughter. So what happened is, during the wedding ceremony, according to the Vedic Bengali tradition, there's a certain stage where, I don't know much about marriages, but I've read this. I've never seen it, but I've read it. There's a certain stage where the wife, the bride, is supposed to feed the husband prasad. So, because everything was so busy, Vasudha was going to feed prasad, and her sister, Janava, was assisting her. And as Janava was holding the tray, while Vasudha was taking the preparations and offering it to Lord Nityananda. And while this was happening, Janava's head was completely covered. Nobody's allowed to see the face of an unmarried woman like this in those days, sometimes in these days. And her veil, because she was so busy carrying all this prasad, her veil fell down. And when Lord Nityananda saw the beauty of her face, he could understand that this is the person Lord Chaitanya described that I should marry. So Surya Das, as the marriage, at one part toward the end of the marriage, Surya Das said, now to offer my love to you on this auspicious day, I want to give you a dowry. I'll give you anything you like as a dowry. And Nityananda Prabhu said, I want your other daughter, Janava Devi. So in this way, they had another marriage ceremony. And he had two wives. And from Vasudha, he had a beautiful son, Birchandra. And Janava, of course, became a great, great acharya. She was none other than Revati, the eternal consort of Sri Balaramji. And Vasudha was an incarnation of Varuni, the other consort of Balaramji. Sri Janava Devi
after Sri Nityananda Prabhu left this world, she was accepted by all the Gaudiya Vaishnavas to be the supreme acharya amongst them. She was fully empowered by the divine love potency of her eternal consort. So in this way, Sri Nityananda Prabhu, following the desire of Sri Gauranga in the Grihastha Ashram, he spent his days with his loving associates, having wonderful kirtan,